Carolina DeReich hosted a very special night for Daybreak last night as we were hosting a liquefied natural gas forum in the city of Rainbow's Prince Rupert. And a panel joined us to discuss this issue, and that include Prince Rupert Port Authority President and CEO Don Crissell, North Coast MLA Jennifer Rice. And we want to highlight some of the discussions that we were having in the room last night. And one of the questions asked, how much time does everyone have before an LNG terminal must be built? Answering that question, oceanographer and scientist Barb Fageter, also Kehatla Environmental Monitoring Representative Bruce Watkinson. Here's what Bruce and Barb had to say last night.
Do we have the time? I don't, under current processes and things that are the processes regulated by the BCEAO and the Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency, I don't believe we have the time. You know, it takes time to understand the environment. What's going on at the Skeena Estuary? What's going on in Chatham Sound? What's going on at, as Barb mentioned, Leilu Island and Flora Bank? You know, we cannot just cast out a couple nets and drop a couple crab pots on Flora Bank in the first week of May and conclude we know what's going on with the ecosystem. It takes time. It takes time to understand the biological, ecological trends over time. It takes time to understand the people of this area. First Nations, Prince Rupert, Port Ed area. What do they want to see? What's our vision for this area? You cannot just come in and say, we think this is good. We are going to benefit. Are you going to benefit? Are you going to benefit? I don't know. But we need that time. We need to make that time. We only get one chance at this to make the proper decision, right? And First Nations always use, and our First Nation, the Kakatla First Nation, always uses the principle of the precautionary approach. If we don't know the answer to something, we better find out that answer. We better err on the side of caution in case we make that mistake. Once we make that decision, once we build that first facility or the second facility, there's no going back. If we don't have the time, we've got to make the time.
We're talking about LNG and hindrances to its development in the region. Barb Fageter, your thoughts on that?
I think probably the biggest hindrance that I've seen, and I'll preface this comment with the fact that not all LNG proponents are the same. There's a lot of different companies out there. They have different approaches to the way they do things. But the biggest hindrance I've seen is inflexibility in their ability to deal with what they find here. When they come here, it's a totally new situation. We're providing them with data. We're providing them with information about our community. We're providing them with knowledge about what is important to us, what are sensitive or valuable habitats to us. But sometimes they come here with a particular idea in their mind that they're going to be at a given location and it's going to look like this. And that can be a real challenging point. We can hit just an absolute wall where we have, for example, environmental data that says, this site is not suitable for an LNG plant. What are you going to do about it? We just, no matter how much you want to say that we'll change this little thing or we'll change that little thing, if you're in an unsuitable site, you're in an unsuitable site. Please choose another site. Have some flexibility.
It was the voice of oceanographer and scientist Barb Fageter speaking at the LNG Forum last night in Prince Rupert. Also in that mix, we heard from Bruce Watkinson. He's an environmental monitoring representative for the Kehatla First Nation. Now, the other question, another question that was raised last night is whether or not Canada and BC's environmental process should be streamlined. And speaking on that issue was Bruce Watkinson again. But first, we'll hear from the Prince Rupert Port Authority President and CEO, Don Crissell.
I think the simple answer is no. I don't think the LNG projects should be treated any differently than any other project at the port. And we certainly, at the Port Authority, look at these projects no differently than any other terminal development. And they should go through the same stringent environmental review process as any other process and live and die by those processes. Simple answer.
Bruce Watkinson, we haven't heard from you for a while. What do you think about the pressure from Petronas to streamline the environmental assessment process?
Thanks for that. Yeah, I promised my wife I wouldn't swear. So I didn't want to jump in and start talking about taxes earlier.
That's why you were so quiet.
Well, yeah, by the way, Aidan Watkinson, if you're watching on Channel 10, it's bedtime. I agree with Don that the EA process should not be streamlined, and I've talked about this previously. And I want to give you one more example that I haven't talked about to answer this question. The current EA process, whether it's the BC government or the federal government, doesn't consider the timelines for the First Nation governments to make their decisions and have their deliberations. In Kakatla, we have a model that we still use our hereditary chiefs in coordination with our elected band council and our citizens at large. And we need time. It takes time and money to bring these folks together. Yeah, I'm ballparking a bit, but I think it's, to bring our hereditary chiefs together for a meeting, it's in the neighborhood of $20,000, all said and done. And if you know anything about First Nations culture, we don't make a decision overnight. It takes time to deliberate. We need to present information to our chiefs and to our people.
And that is Bruce Watkinson from the Gihatla First Nation. Before Bruce, we heard from the Prince Rupert Port Authority CEO, Don Crissell. Now, one more exchange from last night, and this one came between BG LNG Group Community Advisor Herb Pond and also oceanographer Barb Fageter. And this was on the question on whether or not BC even needs to build any of these LNG terminals.
I think, actually, we don't. And the reason I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings about this, but I think people take a very short-term view as to what LNG is a solution for. It's a short-term solution for Japan. It's a short-term solution for China. It's a short-term solution for our economic woes. LNG is not forever. In fact, probably LNG is going to be for a lot less than we think it will be because we'll be tapping it at a much greater rate than we've ever tapped it before. The actual estimates, I'm not sure yet. There's quite a few variations on how much LNG is out there. I've heard quite a wide range of it, but I suspect there's probably less of it than we really think or would really hope that there is. So these are all short-term solutions. What happens when it's gone? What happens to China's population when it's gone? Do their lights go out? What happens to Japan? Do they go back to using nuclear energy? What happens to our infrastructure that we've been supporting by LNG economics? Are we back to where we are right now, wishing we had a market and not having any LNG?
Would anybody like to respond to Barb's perspective before we move on? Herb, do you care too?
You know, I go back to the original question. I don't think there's any reason that we have to do anything. We don't have to sell our wood products. We don't have to sell anything. We don't have to sell meat to foreign markets. We do it because we hope that we create a better world for our families, create better communities, create better places to live because people have jobs and economic opportunities and there's money to fund hospitals and swimming pools. And I'm fixated on the swimming pool for some reason. I don't know why.
Maybe because it's closed.
Yeah, there you go. And so we make choices. And I think tonight's forum's a great testimony to democracy at work, and we make choices and we decide we're prepared to do this, we're not prepared to do that. This is where we want to go. This is a massive opportunity to bring new jobs, new revenue into our communities, specifically into the northern communities, specifically into Prince Rupert and the surrounding communities. We can choose not to do that, but I sure hope that we examine it all and have a really good look at the whole thing and make those decisions based on fact.
It's the voice of Herb Pond, and he is a community advisor for the BG LNG Group. And we also heard from oceanographer and scientist, Barb Fageter. And they were all answering a question last night about whether or not LNG terminals even need to be built in British Columbia. Now, this full forum, it can be seen both on our website, cbc.ca/daybreaknorth, that's cbc.ca/daybreaknorth.